Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In December, Congress passed temporary funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program, known as CHIP, to keep the federal program running into March. Now the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services report that some states could run out of CHIP funds by January 19th, leaving up to 9 million low- and middle-income children without coverage. Coming up, we'll hear from two sides about the pros and cons of the 20-year-old program. Joining us now is Executive Director of the Universal Healthcare Action Network, Ohio, Steve Wagner. Welcome.
Good morning.
Let's talk about, I remember covering this when they enacted it 20 years ago. It was Republican. It's always been a bipartisan supported program, right?
It has been. It generally is in the votes to reauthorize it each time. Both Republicans and Democrats have come forward. So it's really very perplexing that we can't seem to do it now.
How does it work?
So
in Ohio, I guess. It works different in different states, right?
Yeah, it does. So in Ohio, the kids that are part of that are, I should say it this way, that qualify for CHIP wouldn't know that they weren't just part of the Medicaid population. So they get the same card. They have the same benefits. Makes it a little challenging to find people to tell the stories about how CHIP has benefited them because they don't know they're on CHIP.
And their parents have to enroll them, though, right?
Yeah. So parents would find out whether they're eligible. They'd come in with what kind of income they make, what their household income. And they'd find out whether or not the household qualifies for Medicaid, whether a kid qualifies straight for Medicaid, or whether CHIP and, frankly, be paced in the program.
Right. Because this is for children whose parents make too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but don't make enough to afford the private market.
Yeah, it was really to try and close that gap for kids that were in that kind of income quandary, I guess. And, you know, it's really about trying to make sure that kids are healthy and can learn. You know, kids that that have good health are better able to perform in school, and this helped close that gap.
They say there's about 9 million kids across the country that are enrolled in the program. About 220,000 of those live in Ohio. Is that pretty much how many it's been over the last 20 years? Is that where the enrollment's been at?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, certainly the poverty has increased for people over time,
so right? There's been an uptick.
So yeah,
in the number of kids, and it's all so it's just Medicaid for kids, and it's just for them.
Yeah, it looks they have the same card as a kid that qualified under the standard Medicaid program, so they wouldn't know any different that they were on CareSource or another health plan.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you if it goes by any other names in Ohio.
Yeah. So it's it does. It's called Healthy Start in Ohio, but really individuals probably think of it by the plan that they're enrolled in, the insurance plan. So it's managed care that they're under, and they'd know it by the managed care plan.
Is there any difference between what kind of coverage a child would get under CHIP than they would get under any other kind of privately?
Yeah, I think that's the
managed.
So no, there isn't a difference. And I think that's the very nice thing about the Ohio's program, is that there is no difference in terms of the benefits that they receive, the things that they qualify for. And so a physician that's taking that card doesn't have to worry about if the kid's on CHIP or on Medicaid. They just know that they've got this kind of coverage and the benefits, what they can do, what they're eligible for.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking right now about the Children's Health Insurance Program. It's known as CHIP nationally. The federal program expired in September, but lawmakers in Congress enacted a short-term fix for this. It was expected And then another one in December. It was expected to last most states, if not all, and into March. But now there's reports that it won't last in every state. The funding won't make it until March. In fact, many will run out of money as early as January 19th this week. Why is Ohio not in the same fix as other states when it comes to the funding running out?
Well, I think part of it is the administration's decision about how to do this. So first of all, it's partly that they are all part of this big Medicaid program, right? And so the administration, the governor, decided that they were going to continue this and make sure that it happened. So actually, Director Moody, who's Office of Health Transformation, the governor's office, made a release yesterday that talked about that they were going to continue it no matter what, that whether CHIP continued or not, they would, those kids would still be part of the Medicaid program. Now, what that
means. Well, that's going to cost money, though.
It is. It means a lot because the match rate is different. So how much the feds are going to kick in changes. And that's something that the ACA did is actually—
The Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act actually increased how much the federal government was kicking in for those CHIP kids. And that was supposed to last till 2019. And that's part of this problem about reauthorizing.
Why wasn't CHIP rolled into the ACA? Why was it— kept and just made, you know, then those kids could be registered and get subsidies and that kind of things through the ACA instead of being through Medicaid.
Yeah. So I think the question is, why didn't we make this part of the marketplace, the, you know, purchase the plans on the marketplace and provide subsidies? Is that kind of where
yeah.
you're going?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of talk about that. And part of the issue was early on that the plans hadn't really come about that really would take care of children. So when you think about the ACA plans or the Obamacare marketplace, however you want to refer to them, they develop out a plan that they believe will cover, for example, 70% of the costs of an average individual on the plan. They've done that generally for adults, and they've looked at their networks. Their networks are generally covering adults, and they don't cover kids as well. And so that's part of this dilemma is that the marketplace plans are not as well suited for kids.
Why?
Well, it's just the way the insurance products got developed.
But kids are tend to be healthier than adults.
They do. They do. But they also have very different needs, right, in terms of immunizations, well visits, all those kind of pieces. So the just the way in which you think about the healthcare costs that kids are going to have is different than what adults are going to have.
If you have a question or comment for us about the Children's Health Insurance Program, known as CHIP, my guest is Steve Wagner. He's Executive Director of the Universal Healthcare Action Network, Ohio. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can check out the All Sides Facebook page and post your question or your comment there. $15 million a month. Has the state said where they're going to get the money from for that?
I have not heard that, no.
But they've just guaranteed that Ohio will not fall by the wayside on this.
Yeah, I think they've made that commitment to the kids in Ohio, and we'll see how that gets played out.
What has been the impact of CHIP over the last 20 years? Has it mattered? I mean, on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, it surely has for the children who have benefited from it. But is there anyone out there looking at what the larger impact of a program like that has been?
Yeah, I think the impact has been both in terms of the health of kids as well as their educational improvement. So that is one of the reasons that the ACA looked at this higher match rate, looked at it. People looked at it and said, oh, my gosh, we still have many kids that do not have health care, don't have health insurance, and whether that's about not having their vaccinations or other, you know, kinds of things that keep kids healthy. They felt that it was super important to be able to do that so we didn't have outbreaks of disease, so that we didn't have kids not being able to learn in school because of health problems.
And it's achieved that? Is any, you know?
Yeah, actually, I'm not aware of anything that's looked at that in terms of the change. So, and I'm not quite certain how you would construct that study because everyone was able to come into CHIP for the most part. You could probably look at some of the states that implemented these broader CHIP pieces over time. But for the most part, there isn't something that shows that they've increased their health.
Tiffany in Hilliard, you're on the air. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead. You said your daughter or your children or your daughter at least has been a beneficiary of CHIP.
Yes. I mean, it's been 13 years now, but back in 2004, right after my husband was laid off, at Gateway, when they closed their stores in Columbus, we lost our medical insurance. And then we noticed that summer that our daughter's eye was not straight. So it turns out she was diagnosed with strabismus, and she needed to get a comprehensive eye exam and have patch therapy. And eventually we learned out she needed at least two eye surgeries to correct, to strengthen that eye muscle. And so our pediatrician, knowing what was going on, suggested that we apply for CHIP. And at the time, I had no idea what it was or all the politics that went into it, but she did qualify for CHIP. And so my husband and I still did not have medical coverage, but she did. And so what a relief. We went to the eye clinic, and shout out to Dr. Amy at Children's. She saw Emma so many times, and then they did a great job. She was only two, so it was not, you know, the easiest for her to get her eye drops and get her eye exam. But
I can't even imagine.
I know, it was horrible. It was so horrible. But anyway, you know, we didn't have to worry that she couldn't get what she needed. So CHIP was essential to us at this time.
And how long was she on CHIP?
She was on CHIP at least for 7 or 8 years. After that was such a financial setback. It took us a while for my husband was employed, but it didn't mean that our insurance was the best. And so it's only been the last few years that we've gotten back on our feet. And now we have two kids now, and we have private insurance, but really this was the essential piece in helping us to recover financially.
Did you have out-of-pocket costs associated with it?
No.
None. So it didn't set you back further?
No, it was really, it was essential.
Tiffany, thanks for giving us a call and sharing that story. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. They didn't even know about it, but luckily a pediatrician told them about CHIP. Steve Wagner, is that how people usually find out about it, or how does it work?
So if you didn't already, go to, for example, your Jobs and Family Services in your county to try and get health insurance. Sometimes people do find out that way. Their child needs health care. They go to the hospital. Nationwide Children's is great at that. They have social workers who help to make sure that if you qualify for insurance, you get matched in. And that's probably what happened there. This pediatrician took a look and said, hey, maybe you can get coverage in this way. So that does happen more than you would think.
We are talking about funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program. A lot of people, they've grown up with it, at least being in their lives or being out there. It's known as CHIP. It was established 20 years ago at the federal level with state, and they do state federal matching funds for states. Right now, it's in limbo. For many states, the funding will run out. Their funding will run out on January 19th. For Ohio, the governor has promised that we'll keep funding, the state will keep funding it in Ohio, regardless of federal actions. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, he and other governors have gone to Washington, or their people have gone to Washington, asking federal lawmakers to get on the stick and get it done and maybe get even a 5-year extension instead of this 3-month to 3-month program that they've been on for a while. We'll be right back and hear the pros and cons of how CHIP works and what its impact has been. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. A temporary funding fix for the Children's Health Insurance Program, known as CHIP, may lapse this week in many states. As many as 9 million kids would go without coverage. Meanwhile, discussion in Congress about CHIP's future has stalled. Advocates are calling for a full five-year extension. Fiscal conservatives in the Republican majority want to take a closer look at how the program affects healthcare markets. Joining us is Executive Director of Progress Ohio, a nonprofit progressive think tank, Sandy Tice. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Also, Executive Director of the Economic Research Center and Vice President of Policy at the Buckeye Institute, Ray Hederman. Welcome back.
Thank you, Ann.
So, Ray, let's talk a little bit about the impact on the exchanges, on the larger healthcare market. What's the concern there?
Well, we have pretty good evidence that, you know, because the expansion of CHIP, and CHIP has been expanded under the Affordable Care Act, that has had an impact on private coverage. So estimates from the Congressional Budget Office says that basically you have a crowding out effect. People that used to be on their parents' plan now receive coverage through CHIP. And that's a problem on two fronts. One is it splits family coverages, right, where the idea is that families are no longer on the same health care plans, and that can be a problem. The second thing is research by Pew Foundation and other groups says that dollar for dollar, CHIP has fewer benefits, is not as rich as benefits as private coverage. So in some cases, you have a fact that people are dropping their kids off their own plans to put them on CHIP, which means that they're going to get less care. And that's a problem for the private markets.
What do you mean by fewer benefits? Aren't they more benefits tailored for children? Obviously, this is a children's health care.
Right. If you compare coverage for children on private plans, and according to the Pew Research, you get a higher dollar value of children benefits. You get richer, more services are actually covered under the average private plan compared to the average CHIP plan.
Has the research established, though, whether they would have any insurance at all?
Yes. And so if you take a look at the Congressional Budget Office, they estimate that about a quarter of all children on CHIP used to or would receive coverage under private coverage through like a family employer.
But could their parents afford it?
Yes. And so that's kind of what they're estimating. Parents are affording it now. And children are pretty cheap to cover on average, right? If you take a look at like, you know, what the cost is now,
healthier,
we know.
That
exactly.
Kind of thing.
You know, and benefits and services for children are more fixed. You don't have as many unexpected costs. And so for the most part, about a quarter of the people would continue to receive health coverage on the private market.
Well, I can't understand why in the world somebody would go to the trouble of putting their kids on CHIP if they could afford better health care coverage.
Well, you know, I think everybody makes his own decisions about saying like, look, you know, maybe you don't need as many richer benefits. Maybe the idea that maybe you want to figure out another way for your family to spend money. But we do see this crowding effect all the time in federal programs. And CHIP is no exception, as determined by the federal government who looks at the program.
So, Sandy Tice, what about that? What do we know about why people do that?
That doesn't make any sense to me based on what I know about it. The reason why the healthcare market's dysfunctional is because of all the uncertainty over the ACA. You have the Republicans keep coming in and promising to repeal and replace it with something better, and we don't have that. That's what's causing the dysfunction in the market. What is such a tragedy about this has been a bipartisan, successful program. And for all the dysfunction in Washington, to have something that works and has been bipartisan is a good thing. And now all of a sudden, this is being used as a bargaining chip by the Republicans, which is really sad because it involves kids.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about CHIP, that is the Children's Health Insurance Program. It was created 20 years ago to cover children whose parents earn too much to qualify for Medicaid but too little to afford private insurance. We'd like to hear from people. If you have any questions, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You just heard from Sandy Tice. She's Executive Director of Progress Ohio, which supports CHIP, wants to see it to continue. Also with us, Ray Hederman. He is Executive Director of the Economic Research Center and Vice President of Policy at the Buckeye Institute. And also with us, Steve Wagner, Executive Director of Universal Healthcare Action Network Ohio. Steve Wagner, can you talk about the disparities between the kind of coverage, you know, that Ray was talking about?
So I think that that the issue is that even if we take at its face that a quarter of the people might be able to switch, we're still talking 75% of the people, that most of the people still absolutely need that coverage. And here we are talking, in a place where this program has not been reauthorized. And actually, the care that's provided in Ohio as part of the Medicaid program is a good benefit and takes care of, you know, one of the important things that the Affordable Care Act is, it set a good floor about the type of care that had to be provided. So you had to have all those essential health benefits, the vaccinations, the well child visits, those other pieces had to be taken care of from the beginning, no matter what the plan said. So that's why CHIP, Medicaid, even the private insurance plans can be a pretty good value.
Was CHIP expanded by way of the Affordable Care Act along with Medicaid? Was it part of that? When we talk about Medicaid expansion, was CHIP part of that?
So yes, it was made a richer match. So for example, it didn't the best that you could get as a match as a state would be that 85% of the funds were paid by the feds. So under the ACA, they expanded that so that all the way up to 100% of the federal funds, because there was a desire to make sure that we covered all children. In Ohio, the match rate is somewhere around 97%, and that's why it's, you know, important to Ohio for this to continue, because it really means dollars out of the state budget.
But, you know, Steve, that match was temporary. So one of the fights, Ann, is the fact that that expanded match is scheduled to expire this year. And so the question is, how much of this bonus match is going to continue and for how long the funding program is going to?
Again, that goes back to the uncertainty you're talking about, Sandy Tice.
Right, absolutely. And keep in mind what's happening in Ohio right now with kids. We have one of the worst infant mortality rates in America, which is really awful given the importance of the healthcare economy here. And what I like about the services provided by CHIP, you know, there's positive parenting, there's well baby visits, there's home visits, there's all sorts of things that help pregnant women and help the babies in their first year of life. And we can't lose that right now.
But you're right about that infant mortality rate being horrible. I would have thought over the last 20 years, something like CHIP would have helped address that.
It, you know, one of the problems is the racial disparity we're seeing in the infant mortality rate. If you're a woman of color and you're wealthy and you have a college degree, your chance of having an infant death is higher than a white woman who has no college degree, who's living on the margins. And that's because of the stress that's caused by institutional racism. We have a real problem in this country. And so anything that we can do as a society to address it, we really need to do.
And
Steve?
Health and health care is a necessary component to try and prevent infant mortality, but it's not sufficient. And when people talk about infant mortality, they often think of that as an indicator of the health of the community. So it's issues around whether people can get safe housing. It's about whether they can get employment. It's all of those factors that create pressure within that community that contribute to infant mortality. And that's what's, a number of the projects that are trying to solve that in our urban environments are trying to address that entire aspect of what makes an individual healthy.
What do we know about what kind of impact, though, this has had on the private coverage issue over the last 6 or 7 years now?
Sure. And so, again, you know, you take a look, Congressional Budget Office, you know, estimates this. They've come out with several scorings, both in October, you know, when the first CHIP reauthorization funding was in full swing. They came out with another one last week taking a look at it. And again, they've said that because of CHIP, you're going to see some private children drop off their parents' plan, both from the employer and also from the private market, and move on to, you know, the CHIP program. And so I think, you know, the interesting fact about the CHIP is that we're not seeing a huge policy fight, and we're having more of a process fight right now, where basically, you know, Senator Portman came out from Ohio talking about the importance of the CHIP program. So it's a process fight on how you're going to fund it, how long you're going to fund it, and more importantly, I think it's a reflection of the dysfunction of Washington, where you do have programs like CHIP being held almost hostage to try to get a bigger spending bill pushed through.
Right. It's something everybody agreed on.
Exactly. And, you know, you think back a few years ago, we had military spending bills, right, you know, being held up as well in Congress, you know, to force concessions from the other side. And so you have a lot of these bills that used to be considered must pass, you know, protecting children's health care, protecting our troops abroad, are now being held up because that seems to be, unfortunately, one of the few ways federal legislation has been able to pass in the last several years.
I know this is another topic for another show, but this is an argument for why we need to end the gerrymandering in the congressional map. Because what we have is we have this hyper-partisan attitude in Washington. We send them there with really good health care and a really good salary to fix our problems. And oftentimes they're making them worse.
Yeah. And even if, though, that gerrymandering was fixed tomorrow, it'd be another 15 or 20 years before it would make any difference. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, there's about 220,000 children in the state of Ohio that depend on this. What, Steve Wagner, what do you tell parents? I mean, Ohio is not in limbo yet because Ohio, for some reason, can afford $15 million a month suddenly to cover this if the Fed's funding drops out, right? We're not sure where the money's coming from, but they say they can handle it. Be that as it may, there has to be a lot of uncertainty. What kind of advice are people seeking on this score?
I think it's the same advice that we give in any of this time of uncertainty about any of the insurance programs, whether that's the marketplace or other, which is take advantage of the insurance that's there. You know, make sure that if there's coverage that's available for you, shop around, see what's best, see what works for your family, whether that's CHIP, whether that's private marketplace, what you can get. You need to take advantage of it. And then you need to advocate about why it's important. I don't think there's anything more that an individual that's getting insurance needs to do. You can't, you know, you keep your insurance if you've got it.
You know, Ray Hederman, Ohio, like I said, they're going to scrape up the money somehow, $15 million a month when the time comes, when federal funding drops off. But other states are reporting that their funds will be exhausted by January 19th, this Friday. Why are some states in more dire straits than others?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on basically how the CHIP program is funded and run through every state. And so, you know, some states don't have the reserves. Ohio's basically said, we're going to use Medicaid as a backstop. And other states are saying we're only going to fund until the CHIP programs are exhausted. And so, you know, it creates a real conundrum because some states are trying to wrestle with, you know, telling parents, well, you know, CHIP may not be around a month later. But at the same standpoint, you don't want to create a panic. And so so what's happened is a lot of times CHIP, like a lot of other programs, have been temporarily extended a few months down the road, maybe a year. And so people don't want to sit there and unnecessarily worry parents. I think that basically, like Congress usually does, they'll come together with some type of short-term agreement at the last minute and CHIP will be funded. But that's a tough question a lot of times for people running these programs where states are really there. And finally, Ann, there's also a reserve fund for states that can expire some of their CHIP that they can draw down. And so what they're trying to figure out is for some of these other states that are in real danger of hitting their CHIP limit, how much of this emergency funding is available for those states.
How changes to the Affordable Care Act, I mean, how will changes to it, such as the removal of the individual mandate, affect CHIP going forward? Steve Wagner, does it matter?
Yeah, gosh, I don't know how the
Ray
mandate
Hederman?
Would make a difference.
Yeah, you know, the Congressional Budget Office actually came out, and this was actually touted, I think, by Senator Wyden. Because the removal of the individual mandate, you have fewer people taking private coverage, and so that actually made CHIP cheaper because more people would be eligible for the CHIP program instead of being on private coverage. So ironically, if you take a look at some of the headlines last week, you might have heard how Congressional Budget Office estimates CHIP will cost less money than when it estimated back in the fall. And that's because they have less money going to premium support programs on private coverage. So the reason CBO is saying CHIP is now cheaper is because covering a children under CHIP is cheaper to the federal government than paying subsidies for somebody to buy on the individual market. So ironically, the individual mandate removal makes CHIP more affordable with Congress, according to the CBO score, which is the only score that counts for Congress.
It's cheaper because they made premiums more expensive.
Exactly, Steve.
Okay. Okay. Sandy Tice?
That makes no sense. You talked about how difficult it must be for parents. There was a doctor from Cincinnati who had a press conference last week, and he treats kids with chronic kidney disease. And he was talking about conversations he's having with the parents. You need your kidneys all the time. You don't need them only when CHIP is being funded. You need them during the stopgap and when all this uncertainty is causing all sorts of turmoil for the families. He said he has people in his office crying all the time. What am I going to do? Do I need to move out of the state to find a place that has a more stable funding system for CHIP? And Ohio's pretty stable compared to some
other ones. I was going
to
say, Ohio sounds like the best there is.
I mean, that's actually worrying because that is the parents in Ohio, because of the actions of how we function Medicaid. Medicaid backstops the CHIP program, so children in Ohio will continue to get care. It's only a funding question of how the state pays for it. So, you know, we shouldn't be concerned about access of children in Ohio to receive the care that they need desperately. It's just a question of how are they going to fund it at the federal level, or if not, how does Ohio taxpayers fund it? That's the question. It's not, you know, whether or not kids can get the care.
So the uncertainty, you talked about, well, what do people think about this uncertainty and how they act? The people who are really on the hot seat with the uncertainty here is the governor's office and the legislature in Ohio. They're the ones who have to figure out the funding. And they've made that commitment that this is an important program.
The governor has led the way on this, and I give him a lot of credit for that. The General Assembly has given him some pushback on some of these budgetary items,
with the
Medicaid expansion. Yeah. So I think Steve's right. You know, if this thing lingers, we could see another showdown between the legislative branch and the executive branch.
We'll continue our conversation. We'd like to hear from people who have used CHIP in the past for their children, maybe are on it now. Their children are enrolled in it now. Why you decided to go that route, why you had to go that route if that was the case. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Federal Children's Health Insurance Program. It's known as CHIP. A temporary funding fix for the program was intended to last into March, but some states will run out of money as early as January 19th. Ohio might be running out of money, too, but they're going to patch together with the state reserves from the Medicaid spending. We're hearing two points of view on the pros and cons of the 20-year-old program. For now, we're just kind of mulling the prospects for the future. Still with us is Executive Director of the Universal Healthcare Action Network, Ohio, Steve Wagner. Also with us, Ray Hederman, Executive Director of the Economic Research Center and Vice President of Policy at the Buckeye Institute, and Sandy Tice, Executive Director of Progress Ohio. If you have a question or comment about CHIP, about how it figures into the larger equation of healthcare funding in the United States, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We talked about how CHIP goes by other names in Ohio. Steve Wagner, can you refresh our memory? What are some of those? Because as you said earlier at the beginning of the program, people might not even realize that what we're talking about is what their kids are on.
Yeah, so people generally don't know why they qualified for a state-sponsored health care. They oftentimes just know that they have a particular insurer that's providing the care. And so they'll hear CareSource or Molina or some other insurer. And that's the plan that they have and think about. So they won't know they're on CHIP versus Medicaid. And so that's how they tend to think about it.
Okay. And Ohio is forecasted to maintain CHIP funding through that temporary funding period. But Sandy Tice, you said that you give the governor a lot of, you know, credit for supporting the program. But on the other hand, the legislature does hold the purse strings. I mean, what are your expectations?
They do. And if this thing continues to linger on, eventually there's going to become a time where something is going to have to get cut to help pay for this. And you remember when you covered state budgets and they said it was the process of allocating disappointment. That's still true. We have a constitutional mandate for a balanced budget. And so if we're spending money that we're not anticipating on one thing, it's going to have to come out of someplace else.
Right.
And that's where it gets interesting.
I don't know if all states are, but I know the state of Ohio is constitutionally required to balance its budget every year, all the time. Pardon me?
Most states are, I think. I think that maybe there's just one that doesn't have that constitutional requirement. So, you know, anytime you have a program, and, you know, one of the things is going to be hard to project how much the state is going to receive going forward, right? Because the Affordable Care Act increased, you know, the CHIP allocation match rate up. And so Ohio is almost getting 100% now. And so, but that expansion under match rate under the ACA scheduled to expire in 2019. And so state lawmakers and people in the state Medicaid department are going to have a hard time thinking about what the new match rate is going to be. Is it going to go back to the traditional match rate?
We have no idea.
Exactly. And so, you know, and that's one of the big debates in Congress, right? Whenever you have a temporary increase in these funding programs, how much of the temporary increase do you keep, if any? How long do you make it for? 5, 10 years? So these are a lot of the process questions, which is why, again, you know, you see a very unique a letter, you know, with Senator Brown, Senator Portman agreeing on a lot of the policy of CHIP, but you'll see some disagreement on, you know, how to fund it, how long you're going to fund it.
And that's why these longer funding commitments are important.
Right. For planning.
It allows certainty both at the federal level and the state to figure out how they're going to fund what we do.
Absolutely.
You know, Ray Hederman, how long can this country go on with so many different ways of paying for health care?
Yeah.
Health care insurance.
Right. You know, and I think that's one of the key problems with our health care system, right? You have so many disparate sources of funding, and then that creates very unfriendly family or individual-focused health care policies. One of the interesting ideas, if I was going to reform CHIP, I would take a look and say, look, we know that the individual market right now is unstable because it has a lot of healthy people. Could we pay families a bigger share of family coverage to give them a family plan to move them on to the private market? So you're combining all coverage together. That's part of what the ACA did. But if you take a look and said, look, you know, can instead of having some people get health care through CHIP, maybe the mother gets it through Medicaid and maybe, you know, the partner or spouse gets it through, you know, the employer's place of work. If you could combine all the family on the same health care funding, same healthcare plan, that might be a good fix to our healthcare system. Because again, one of the problems with the healthcare system we have, it's very fragmented with different match rates, you know, people moving on and off these type of plans.
And there's this private piece to it that so far has to be maintained.
Yeah.
Steve Wagner?
I mean, that is the difficulty is who do you I'm still thinking about Sandy's piece about allocating disappointment. And I'm not certain how to turn that to
the
just
early
say
90s.
That there are also, in a sense, this allocation of people who just end up getting left out. And that's in Ohio. I think we're doing a great job of trying to include kids. I think rolling them as part of the overall Medicaid program helps because you've consolidated a lot of kids in a single program that therefore can look at how they negotiate for reimbursement and other things. But yeah, there's always then some repercussions for people who don't qualify. We were just earlier talking about those people that are getting insurance on the private marketplace but don't get premiums. They're kind of the ones that are left out now, either the people who can just struggle and afford them or those who can't afford anything. And that's part of this dilemma, which is, yeah, this could all work if we could try and group families together by bringing the pieces of coverage that they each had. But oftentimes we have people, the partner that has no coverage. You know, the child might have CHIP. Maybe one of the parents is on Medicaid, but we've gotten don't have the enough to bring it all together. We can't make
the economies
of
scale. You mean that kind of a thing?
Yeah. Well,
or?
You know, if you know, you hear from the one woman whose child was on CHIP. Mm-hmm. It sounded to me like in the beginning they simply couldn't afford insurance for themselves. They were able to have it for their child, given their economic circumstances, but they just couldn't swing it for themselves. Eventually, the spouse was able to get coverage, and that's part of this dilemma: is adult coverage right now.
And all the funding streams, you know, from the federal government are very unique and separate, and states can't combine them to figure out ways to try to make things innovative. So you can't say we want to mix maybe this funding stream for Medicaid, this funding stream for CHIP, and trying to combine it so maybe families could find a more affordable, you know, family type of coverage. But those are some of the big policy reform discussions, Anne, that I think would be helpful, because bringing it back, you know, to the allocation disappointment question, we know that Medicaid, these type of health care spendings are becoming a larger share of state budgets and federal budgets. So we need to think innovative ways to give people more affordable options and coverage. And I think, you know, trying to get all families on the same plan where they could see the same network of doctors would be a great health care reform.
Well, it just seems logical to me. But are states, Ray Hederman, are they very much different from each other?
Yeah, so states are different in how they want to approach health care,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I get that, how they want to approach it. But
yes, and so, I mean, if you think about it, right, I mean, you'll have – and that's kind of one of the big ideas that we used to see. States trying different things in Medicaid programs, right? So very different waiver systems. You have 1332 waivers in the Affordable Care Act. So you have a state like Vermont that said, we were thinking about you going to single payer. And then you have other states saying, we want to sit there like Iowa says, we want to give everybody a flat family credit to purchase individual health insurance. So states have very, very different ideas on how they want to provide health care. And I think the more we can get at the federal government out of the way and help fund it, it'd be better for the states to pursue a single payer better, or giving families money to buy a private plan, a better option, better coverage, and let states figure out what's been the best mix for them.
I think over the last year, though, we've lost the critical piece of the discussion, which is value. All we're talking about now is cost and who's covered. And that's not how we're going to decrease healthcare spending. We've got to get back to discussing what we pay for and how we pay for it.
This last year has also showed us just what a train wreck our healthcare system is. You look at all the promises that were made by the Trump administration to repeal and replace. And in the course of that, polling showed that a majority of Americans actually like the Affordable Care Act. We have a mess. We have a lot of work to do, and I feel like it's just getting worse.
Is the CHIP program, though, this holding hostage at the federal level, it doesn't have anything to do with Affordable Care Act or repeal of that or anything like that. It's just a bargaining chip in negotiations over stuff that are completely unrelated to it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, and remember, you know,
so
you
there's
have,
not any real policy even being discussed.
Not right now, you know, and that's the unfortunate thing. You're seeing a huge political fight, but there are not a whole bunch of discussions, right? There's not a whole lot of disagreement of fundamentally changing the program. It's just a matter of what can be attached to, how can you pass it to make sure it gets funded.
You know, and Ray Hederman, I still don't really understand how when states are all doing, if there's ostensibly 50 different ways that states are approaching how to get people covered with health care, how that's a good thing.
Because I think you sit there and say, look, maybe one state hits on a really interesting idea
yeah,
that works
and
other
do.
States like sit there and innovate and compete. And that's kind of, Anne, you take a look at all the different programs that we've done. There's been great lessons from welfare reform to tax policy. Here's one. Alaska came up, you know, and sought a reinsurance waiver, basically, that they would take money from all the insurance companies and use that to make the individual market cheaper. That was successful, and now you have other states trying to do it. And so these are the type of innovative ways states can learn from each other, and I think that's a better solution than maybe the one-size-fits-all approach that we see whenever the federal government says you must do this.
You know, if you're listening and you're as frustrated as I am, call your member of Congress, call your U.S. senators, and tell them that you want CHIP reauthorized for a minimum of 5 years. You're paying their salary, you're paying their very good health care benefits, and they need to hear from the public. And I understand they're getting a lot of calls on this, and I think it would be helpful if they got a lot more.
Yeah. Ray Hederman, do you agree with the 5 year, let's get something settled for at least 5 years so that...
I don't know if you'd want to look at 5 years. I think, you know, it's one of those things where you need to have a serious conversation about, say, look, what's the right match rate? You know, what is the impact on private coverage? And so I have no problem with basically saying, look, let's extend the program. But, you know, 5 years without taking a fundamental look and saying, are we get the value for it? I think that's a question Congress needs to take up.
Yeah. And Steve Wagner, Ray mentioned value.
Reauthorize it, get a clean CHIP bill out there for 5 years. I don't think they have anything that says that this CHIP program, you know, let me say it a different way. CHIP program helps kids to be healthy. We need to move it forward. The match rate is just all about dickering about small amounts of money in the scope of the federal budget that they can easily figure out how to fund.
So in these states where they say they're running out of money, when they run out of money, is that end? I mean, the kids lose their CHIP card. They lose the coverage. They're now uninsured.
They could.
And not in Ohio, supposedly, because Ohio can somehow afford $15 million a month
as I understand it, we will consider them to be part of the Medicaid program then, and we will then receive the federal match rate per Medicaid rather than CHIP, which is a much lower amount of money that we get from the feds.
Because they do it differently in all 50 states, because states like Ohio are saying they're going to cover it. Sandy Tice, any questions about or any concerns that there's not a sense of that this is an imperative, that this is an important issue?
Any sense that because Ohio's doing the right thing, we don't have the pressure point from
yes,
Ohio?
Yes, yeah, thanks.
I think if we're going to continue to cover kids, particularly kids in this population, some of whom have very serious problems, we need to do that. That's why I think you should call your member of Congress and your states, your U.S. senators, and tell them to give us a five-year reauthorization. That gets us through the next presidential cycle, too, so we don't have to listen to them fight over it in the next presidential race. And 5 years is a long time for state and the federal government to figure out how to make this work better.
Yeah, leapfrogging a presidential election cycle sounds like a good thing right now, Ray Hederman. What do you think?
No, you know, going back, you know, anytime it's a politician, it's a business, you know, certainty is better. And being able to plan, you know, 5 years out is optimal. And so I think, you know, basically it's always better policy if you have a defined budget for these type of programs. And so it's just a question of making sure you have the right policy in place and then making the funding stream permanent so you don't have, you know, these types of brinkmanship efforts, this gamesmanship. And so I think a 5 or even 10 year, you know, funding of CHIP, once the policy is right, is an optimal way to go.
Ray Hederman, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Ray Hederman is the Executive Director of the Economic Research Center and Vice President of Policy at the Buckeye Institute, and Sandy Tice, Executive Director of Progress Ohio. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Steve Wagner, Executive Director of the Universal Healthcare Action Network Ohio. Thanks to you as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. Thanks to the All Sides staff, producer Michael DeBonis, assistant producer Shia LaNotte, All Sides interns Kyle McKinnon, Dan Posniak, and Martin Coleman, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Be sure to like All Sides on Facebook and follow the show on Twitter at WOSU All Sides. And you can follow me on Twitter, too, at Ann Fisher, WOSU. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.